Hear what these respected authors have to say about it. Speaking of the unfairness of grace, Samuel Bolton wrote...
This is a magnificent quote!
Yes, this is from several hundred years ago as well. Samuel Bolton wrote, Christ himself shall as soon be called to account for your sin as you yourself.
See, that's one right there. Well, you're in Christ. If he has to pay, you have to pay. If he doesn't, you're in.
Yeah.
Read that again, my beloved brother.
Christ himself shall as soon be called to account for your sin as you yourself. If you have an interest in him, sin shall never condemn you, for Christ has made satisfaction for it.
Woo!
And he's quoting someone else right in the middle here. Those whose standing is in Christ have made satisfaction in Christ to all the requirements of God and his law.
Hallelujah.
It would not be righteous of God to require payment from Christ, nay, to receive the full satisfaction of Christ, and to require anything from you.
Is that something? Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
In the introduction to Martin Luther's book on the freedom of a Christian, Mark D. Tranvik says, first, Luther's theology put an emphasis on grace alone. He came to understand grace as an active power from God that communicates God's love to us. The alone is important because it stresses that God's grace does not need any works to complete it. Luther was surrounded by traditions and practices in the late medieval church that suggested we had to do certain things to qualify for grace, or we at least had to cooperate with grace.
Yeah.
Luther became convinced that any attempt to combine works with grace ends up undermining grace and glorifying human effort.
There you have it, it's the truth.
In his book, A Scandalous Freedom, Steve Brown lets us know that God granted us his grace because of the cross of Christ. It was a gift given to us with a card attached, the message written in the blood of God's own Son. It is a gift that makes us righteous. It has not come cheap. Nevertheless, it must be cheap to us, free actually, or it would never be ours.
There you have it.
Wow.
We may have granted it for nothing, but it cost him everything.
Yes. Brian Chappell, paraphrasing the words of Jesus in his encounter with the rich young man in Mark 10:17-22, writes, you need to repent of all confidence in your accomplishments, as well as all fault in your failures, to know God's grace.
Now that's what you can meditate on all week, and you'll get ahead.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're definitely going to have a line dance one of these. Any minute now, I'm going to bust out and go off. We'll just go around the entire neighborhood. And they say, what do? We caught on to grace.
Amen.
Yeah. R.T. Kendall uses the example of Jacob to illustrate the wonder of God's grace. Also known as Israel, Jacob is the best example I can think of that shows the sheer grace of God. He is one nonstop illustration from birth to burial of how God continues to love, overrule, and look after a selfish, manipulative, insensitive, and complaining man.
Don't think of your husband right now.
God never stopped loving Jacob and never ceased blessing him, although it must be said that Jacob knew a lot of suffering as well.
I'm telling you, free up.
Amen.
The word charis, grace, appears 155 times in the New Testament, and with three of its derivatives, charizome, 23 times, which means to give or grant graciously, charisma, 17 times, which means a generous gift, or charitao, 2 times, which means to show kindness, all support the same idea. God has something wonderful he wants to give you free of charge. C.K. Barrett, in his Epistle to the Romans, defines it as the free gracious favor of God and the instrument of God's act of justification. While Dunn, in his Romans exposition, goes further, relating it also to the gracious power of God. Horner, in his Ephesians commentary, puts it this way, the believer is visited with grace. He has been ingratiated with grace.
Isn't that gorgeous? Yes. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
God's grace makes fair play seem naive to those who know the value of doing what is right. How can you believe in the law of sowing and reaping, or for that matter, justice and judgment, and also believe in extending grace to the undeserving? How can it be righteous that no one need get what they've got coming, and all should be treated generously. What happened to revenge? Surely wrongdoers should be made to face the consequences of their actions. This is not necessarily so. Grace makes it possible for the worst among us to be embraced by God and his people as though they had never done anything wrong in the first place and were as righteous as Christ. It raises the bar on how Christians should treat one another. Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? You may be surprised at how many get this wrong and aren't sure that God offers grace willingly. Somehow in the back of their minds, they think it must irk him to do so. Nothing could be further from the truth. As surely as God's love sent Jesus to die for us all, so also is his grace freely offered from that same love. In fact, I'll go one step further and say, God cannot look at us any other way. In this dispensation, grace has taken over.
Oh, what a blessing. Let's give the Lord a thanks. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.